Welcome to the Michigan District Thought Leaders podcast series. I'm Todd Jones with the Michigan District. In today's session, I have Pastor Dave Davis from St. Luke Lutheran Church in Hazlett or Lansing. He's going to be talking to us about multi-site ministry and what his congregation and he has learned through their efforts at doing multi-site ministry. So, Dave, thanks for being with us this morning on our podcast, and thanks for sharing this information. It's great to hear someone with experience speak on the topic.
Well, it's good to be here and to share a few words. I do want to talk about what we have been experiencing in bringing multiple congregations together. I think this is a thing we need to be looking at in our circles. I know our circuit, Winkle, has talked about congregations and the future of congregations. It looks like what we're experiencing is a different kind of crisis than what we had defined for ourselves. We had long talked about a looming pastoral shortage, but it looks like the crisis we're really facing in our church body is that more and more of our congregations couldn't even afford a pastor if one would happen to be available. What do they say? You have to have 120 or so in worship to really be able to afford a pastor. And in our circuits and in across the district, I know we have lots and lots of churches with 40, 50, 70 people in worship. And so we really have to think about what's the future for those congregations? What should we do? Should we close a bunch of congregations? We've long talked about worker priests. I'm not sure that's developing very much. So I think at least one response to this ought to be to develop multi-site congregations. One congregation with multiple locations. That's a little different from, sometimes we talk about a cathedral ministry. That would be lots of congregations working together. Well, I'm talking about something different, multi-site. You have one congregation, but multiple locations.
And it's also different than a multi-point parish situation where you have, or a dual parish situation where you have two congregations who are independent but sharing a worker as well, right?
Right. Yeah, this is, at least what we're doing is one congregation in multiple locations. It's kind of interesting. This is a thing I see the non-denoms doing all over the place. And I've talked to some of them, and in fact, they are one congregation, but they have multiple locations. And so I'd like to share maybe four things that we've learned about our multi-site experience. And maybe this will encourage other congregations and circuits to take some steps forward. Let's be clear, this is not about saving churches, but it's about building capacity for thriving gospel ministry in times of seeming decline. I think we shouldn't be discouraged. This shouldn't be a message of discouragement. Jesus promised to build his church, but he may be reorienting how we do some things, at least in this time. And so with that spirit, here are four things that we are learning that we've experienced. The first is that we should look at this as a matter of incarnation. You might say, well, if these are a bunch of small churches, why don't we just all come together in one building somewhere? I think it's a matter of incarnation in that we want local worshiping communities in communities. I'm not talking about preserving institutions or buildings, but preserving what I think of as an incarnate presence in local communities. Jesus took on flesh. He came into the world. In the scripture, it says, now you are the body of Christ, spoken to a congregation. You are the body of Christ, individually members one of another. So I think about having a worshiping community in a specific community, maintaining that so that in a very real way, that's the presence of Christ. I think we shouldn't give up our spaces in the small towns or in the inner city areas that we have, not because we want to save institutions or buildings, but because we want at least our portion of the Christian church to have an incarnational presence. So that's one thing we've learned. We took over an old building, but it's not about saving the building. We have a downtown thriving presence of Christ blessing a neighborhood. A second thing that we learned, and this was this is really something. I think it's a matter of ego-less organization. You have to have clarity of organization to make this happen. And in my mind, the more simple it is, the better. I've just finished reading some things about Steve Jobs and Apple, and his focus was always simplicity. Is little organization or bureaucracy or complexity as possible. And so what we did, we had two congregations, and we said to one of them, here's what we do. Your congregation goes away. Everything you have and are becomes this part of this other one. We aren't rewriting constitutions. We're not guaranteeing positions on boards or anything. Just it's going to be one congregation that works in two locations. We have one budget. We have one board. We have one staff. I think one of the things that hampers congregations coming together like this is focusing on, well, who's going to still have what power? Who's going to still have what authority? And it becomes about managing power and money and buildings instead of saying, what's the simplest way to move ministry forward? And so I think you have to focus on an egoless organization. Just, it's not my money, your money, my board, your board. We all come together as one. And that's worked well. It's kind of been surprising how little conflict there's been in the coming together of our two locations.
As you think about that, were there some challenges, or did you prepare to address some challenges? But were you proactive? For example, did you say, "Well, we're going to intentionally have one or two members from that church on our board," or how did you fast track people into the leadership system of the church?
Yeah, certainly. I think the preparation for that was we really spent time on building relationships across the two locations before we came into one. And so we had strong enough relationships that when I told members of the one congregation, oh, well, certainly there'll be representation. Certainly we're one congregation, two locations. Because of the relationships that we'd built, we didn't have to formalize it in rewriting documents and constitutions, so that we had built a high level of trust, and there was great clarity of, no, this is about ministry moving forward, not some kind of power structure. It kind of came together very nicely.
Great.
Yeah. A third thing that we've learned, or at least that we have out there, is that we're focusing on this as a matter for now and not necessarily forever. This may change down the road. We have two congregations that have become one. Actually, we've just begun to talk to another congregation. And so, who knows? We may have three multi-sites, and that's for now. If we go out another generation, we may hive one another off. Who knows how the Spirit will move? But what we will have done is that we will have preserved an incarnational presence in the various communities so that we have a launching place as time and circumstance change going forward. So, we don't get too anxious about, well, what's going to happen in 10 years or 20 years. We just say, well, this is for now, and we're looking out 18, 24, 4 months. And I think that's been freeing. People have said, well, what's the vision long term? And our vision long term is that God's kingdom would come, his will would be done, his name would be hallowed. Exactly how that looks, we don't know. But we do know it's going to be Christians gathered in worship around the word, the gospel of Jesus, ministering into their community.
It'd be easy to see how an arrangement like this could benefit a congregation which is in financial distress or facing challenges that are too great for it to overcome and facing potential of closure. How has this benefited the suburban, in your case, yeah, suburban congregation that had affluence, had had kind of comfortable ministry. How has this benefited your congregation in that location?
Yeah, I say it's helped us to ask better questions about the ministry we're doing in our suburban setting. We've learned a lot from our brothers and sisters in the downtown location. Their dedication to servanthood, their dedication to continuing to reach their community and to think about people in need, that's helped us ask a lot better questions out in the in our suburban location. And I think it's also given our suburban location a greater appreciation for what that smaller congregation had been heroically doing for decades. And so it gave that group kind of a shot in the arm, some encouragement. They're not worried about keeping doors open any longer. And it gave us in the suburban location better things to think about to make sure that we weren't resting on, you know, however the good things were that we're doing, but that we're reaching out into our community.
Great.
I think a fourth thing that we really have learned, and I mean, why we ever have to learn this is probably a problem. It is a matter of prayer, too. You know, I think about the prayers we choose as we come together. I had this picture, someone else had said it, about picture a group of about 20 people gathered together in a small building, thanking God for the blessings of the congregation through the past 70 years, as they're struggling to keep doors open and worried about what's going to happen. But maybe across the street, there's a group of 20 people gathered in prayer in another small building, excited about the future and asking God for great blessings about reaching new people for Jesus. And what coming together as a multi-site has been able to do is to really change that prayer. That at both of our locations, maybe at a third location, we'll be kind of turning away from the prayers about thanking God for, oh, how we got here, but we don't know how we're going to stay open, to prayers of expectation, prayers of excitement, prayers about moving ministry forward. It, in a lot of ways, I think it's changing the content of our prayer. I love Luther's article about the Lord's Prayer in the Large Catechism, where he talks about the power of prayer. I always think he barely sounds Lutheran, where he says, reflecting on the Reformation, he says, all of our power consists in this, and you're about to hear word and sacrament, but he says prayer. And he says, if it weren't for the prayers of a few, the whole thing would have fallen apart. And so I think in multi-sites, as we move forward in ministry, we really have to focus on being urgent in prayer and the content of our prayer, expecting God to do great things as we move forward. So that's been a huge part of our work together. I said I had four things. There really is one more thing, and that's that I want to encourage local congregations and circuits to take the initiative. You know, certainly we have district and synod assets and resources ready to help, ready to pitch in. There are all kinds of books and seminars abound. But I think it's good to remember that the kingdom work really happens in and through local Christian congregations. And so, you know, certainly take advantage of the resources and the help that's out there. But let's not wait for somebody else to take the initiative. Where you are, you know, in the congregations, in the circuit, see what more you can do and pray about, is God leading you and yours to work together, to band together in some kind of a multi-site ministry? You know, this is one of the things I think, if our congregation can do it, anyone can. I certainly would be glad to chat with anyone if they wanted more information.
Well, thank you very much for sharing with us your congregation's experiences in multi-site ministry. And it is something that we should all be considering as we see opportunities around us. I've been sharing often, there's an African proverb that I find very helpful, and it is, a stranger only sees what he knows, and that our knowledge limits our vision. And so I appreciate that you have given us more knowledge, and hopefully that will give us greater vision to see the opportunities to strengthen mission and ministry through our district, through multi-site ministry. So thank you, Dave, for your time. Yeah. And thank you for listening to the Michigan District Thought Leader Podcast. If you have questions or comments, you can email me at todd.jones@michigandistrict.org, or you can contact Pastor Dave Davis at...
Yeah, feel free to contact me, Pastor D. Davis, @knowingjesus.org.
Have a great day in the Lord.